did it. Jesus as our firm foundation. He is truth. His word is truth. And we are here today to hear the truth and to worship the truth. Let's start out with our readings.
Arlene Kennedy, she brought goodies in honor of Marvel's birthday today. So. Okay. First reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become more mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking of truth and love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Here ends the first reading. The second reading is from Psalm 25, verses 4 through 7. Show me your ways, Lord, teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior. And hope, my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Here ends the reading.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in the book of John, chapter 17, verses 13 through 19. Jesus speaking to his about his disciples and about us. I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any kids that want to leave for children's church are welcome at this time. Feel free. And go learn at their own level there and give the parents a break too. So it's a good thing. Also free to stay here if they want. Let us pray. Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. We pray that you would lead us into all truth through your Holy Spirit and through these words here today, that we may come away changed to be more like you. Amen. Alrighty. I had a Bible study a couple weeks ago, and the word truth just kept on coming up to me. And we weren't even studying the truth, but it just started. And when that happens, you know, there's usually something to it, and there's usually someone behind it. And God, of course. The topic today, then, is truth. He brought it to mind for me and spent a week studying truth, learning about truth. What is truth? That's the question that Pontius Pilate asked in John. What is truth? And many philosophers throughout the ages have wondered, what is truth? Are there eternal truths? Is there an absolute truth? Well, if you look in the dictionary, it says truth is something that is in accordance with fact or reality. It's fact, reality. As a science teacher, you know, I believe in mathematical truth. You know, 1 + 1 = 2. You just can't argue with that, all right? I have one piece of paper, I have one more piece of paper, And if you count them, there's two pieces of paper, right? No two ways about it. It's absolute. Mathematical truth can be proven. Alrighty. As a Christian, I also believe in biblical truth. Can you prove that? Well, I guess the Bible does through prophecies, right? The Old Testament is just full of prophecies that hundreds or even thousands of years later came true with Jesus. And many prophecies are yet to come true, and they will, because this is truth. So truth, you know, can be proven, and it also cannot be disproven. If I have a mathematical theorem and someone comes up with just one little exception to it, the whole thing's blown out of the water. I'd have to rethink and rewrite everything. People for centuries and for millennia have tried to disprove what's in these pages. They have not been successful because this, as we believe as Christians, is absolute truth. So both mathematical and biblical truth are absolute truths. They can't be disproven. They apply in all times and in all places. Doesn't matter if you're in 5th century England, 2nd century France, or here in 21st century America, these truths remain the same. They do not change. Alrighty, but people try to create their own truths. They say, well, this is true or that's true. We're just going to call this truth and everybody's going to be expected to believe it. And yeah, right. Okay, truth has been manipulated throughout history to control people. Think about when a government comes into power. The classic examples would be, you know, communists coming into power. One of the first things they do is eliminate religion and truth. Christianity was big in China, was big in Russia, then the Soviet Union, the communist Chinese came in and crushed it. Instead, putting forth other truths in order to control the people, to manipulate them. All right, they take away their religion, they take away their firearms. Next thing you know, they've got control. And these are dangers that we have to be aware of. Then they can control the media and put forth propaganda. The Nazis are great at this. You know, Goebbels and them, they at creating propaganda, very, very believable to people. And again, to control them. If you control the media, you control what they think. You control what they think, you control their minds and everything. So many times it's about whoever states what the truth is controls the people. Now, God gives us free will, of course, right? He is absolute truth, but he does give us a free will to accept him or to, unfortunately, reject him. And some people do. But again, when humans manipulate truth, it creates a dependency. The communists and other governments, they want people to be dependent on them and not dependent on God or other things. So it's something, again, to be aware of. This relative truth can also be used to justify behaviors. We see that today. Anything goes when you can make your own truth. Alrighty? There's just basic truths. That, you know, there's male and female, right? Two genders. That's truth. People nowadays saying, oh, no, there's this, that, and the other thing. No, absolutely not. Prove it to me, all right? It's basic biology. All right, there's many other examples out there that current culture is trying to lead people away from the absolute truth and the real truth. Again, this is nothing new. You go back to the time of Paul, in Romans 1, he tells about people exchanging the truth for a lie. All right, they had different lies they're following, different idols they're worshiping, and an idol is not always just a piece of stone. It's also an ideology. It's a way of thinking. And people were following after them instead of the one true God. 1 Timothy 6:5 tells about the people turned their backs on the truth. All right, God has always been there. His truth has always been there. People can choose to follow him, or they can choose, unfortunately, to reject him, to turn their back on the truth. 2 Peter, in the last days, scoffers will come mocking the truth. Okay? So not only will they turn away from it, but they will mock the truth. It's unfortunate. We as Christians need to stand up for what is right, stand up for what is true. Sometimes we'll be mocked, yes. Well, are you going to answer to God, or are you going to answer to man? All right, that's what it comes down to. Answer to God or answer to man. Are we going to follow the ways of this world or are we going to follow God's ways? The answer should be clear. And we have to stand firm, but in a loving way. And many times that is the challenge. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. I marked that one because I wanted to go to that as well here. this is Timothy's last, or Paul's last letter to Timothy. He's passing on what's important. He's passing on his faith to the person that's going to sort of take it up and drive forward with it. Timothy did just that. And he's talking about things that are going to happen. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll make up their own truths and have people preach it to them, right? They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, things that are not true, but can, you know, sometimes sound convincing. Because they're dressed up in something that can be attractive to people. And our enemy, of course, has much experience in that way. You got to remember what the source of the lies is, right? Again, this is truth. Anything that goes against this is not truth. As Christians, that is what we believe. No two ways about it. Your word is truth. We're in the gospel today. Alrighty. So if we turn to John 8, real quick here, 44, Jesus is addressing some people about truth versus lies here. Alrighty. He says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth." Not holding to the truth, God's truth, right? "For there is no truth in him." Just the opposite. Like light and dark, they're opposites. Truth and lies, right? There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So that's the force behind anything that is counter to Scripture. It's the enemy trying to lead us away from it with various things, dangling little lures in front of us. You go, ooh, you start to follow it, right? And we have to be aware of that. We have to be cautious of that. We have to be able to know the truth, to recognize the truth, to sort out things, what's true and what's not. Because again, many times these other things can be put forward as truth, and a lot of people, unfortunately, are being misled. So we have to be wary, especially in this day and age. God wants us to seek the truth. He wants us to seek him, not to follow other ways, these idols and ideologies and things like that. His truth. He is truth. All right, we had heard about truth in the reading today with Psalm 25 here. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths." All right? "Teach me your paths and guide me in your truth." We want to be guided in his truth, not in other relatives' truths, but his absolute truth. And we need guidance. Okay, as humans, we tend to stray. You know, we see, ooh, shiny object, or, you know, we start to look at other things. But we have to be brought back on course. And we have to let God do that to us, right? We can be stubborn, the stiff-necked people that's mentioned in the Old Testament, but we need to be teachable with God and before God so that he can direct us. He can correct us. He can convict us where necessary to keep us on that narrow path, because there's so many other paths that look so easy. Guide me into what truth? Guide me in your truth, in God's truth, not the other ones, the fake truths, shall we say. I hesitate to even use the word truth for them, right? But again, it's a relative truth, not an absolute biblical truth. Because he is the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except by him, through Jesus. That's it. That's the only path that's going to get you there is Jesus. It's a narrow path. It's not always easy. Not always easy. And there's other broad, inviting paths that are out there. And the enemy's just trying to usher people down there and tempt them down there. Again, we have to stand for truth. To do that, you have to be able to recognize the truth and get to know the truth. Get to know Jesus, because he is truth. That you may be set free, right? Know the truth, that you may be set free. Free from sin, free from the guilt, free from the shame, free from our old ways that used to drag us down and mislead us. We now follow him in truth on that path. Again, willing to be guided. Let him guide you into truth. Now, the truth, they also say, there's that old saying, the truth hurts. And yeah, that's true sometimes, it is. Sometimes if we're doing the wrong thing, the truth is going to hurt when we hear it, because it's convicting us. It's pointing out to us where we are straying, where we are going in error. So yes, if the truth does hurt, that means we need to examine our ways. We might be thinking we're doing the right thing, and all of a sudden something just sort of boom within you. You realize you're not following the truth. It's the Holy Spirit, okay, letting you know, knocking on the door of your heart, giving you a big thump, whatever it takes. to redirect you, to guide you into truth, guide you into all truth. That's what he seeks to do. So if the truth hurts, we need to examine our thinking. Are we following the right way? Or are we going down these other roads, which are created then, they are paved by the father of lies to lead us away? Alrighty, so this truth then, once that we accept it, once we realize who Jesus is, we accept this truth and we just abide by his ways and we follow them, that truth is going to change us, and it's a wonderful thing. If you've ever gone through a spiritual awakening in your life, or if you just come to a realization, Lord, you're right, I'm not, I seek to follow you, you become changed by that truth. And that's what we heard in the gospel today. Turn to the John there. Alrighty. Jesus is praying for his disciples at this time. He's about to be arrested. He knows it. He knows what's coming. And he's praying for his disciples. Okay, I have given them. He's telling God, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not you take them out of the world. He could, but you protect them from the evil one. Okay, they are not of the world. We'll get to that. Even as I am not of it, yes. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. The words of Jesus. To sanctify them. To sanctify is to make pure, to make holy. And we need that as humans. We sin. We need to be sanctified. And it's not just a one and done thing. Many times it's a process where we become a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better by his following his truth. Sanctify them. Purify them. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. So his word, this truth, has a cleansing effect. Again, we got stuff that needs to be washed away, and this is the detergent that's going to do it, not just on the outside, but more importantly on the inside. It's going to cleanse us. It's going to sanctify us, to make us holy. So we have to get to know the word, right? Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Truth, word, equal, okay? So your word is truth. They're the same thing. So you could say, sanctify them by your word. He has left us this word right here. He has inspired it through many authors, 66 books worth of it. That is truth. That is him. And through this then, by spending time in this word, by seeking guidance from it, seeking direction from it, when we're not sure what to do, turn to this. Here's your compass right here. You're lost in the woods, don't know which way to go. This is the answer. God's love letter to you, each of us, telling us how much he loves us and giving us guidance and direction on how we should live our lives. Many times, a compass can read wrong. When I was in the Army, they always told us, don't read a compass under a power line. Yeah, it gives off an electromagnetic field that's going to redirect the needle. It's going to turn it the wrong way. And boy, there are a lot of power lines out there. I'm not talking about the physical ones, okay? I'm talking about things that will redirect us. We think we're going on the right azimuth, but we're not. You have to be aware of the things that are turning your compass the wrong way. Another one is large pieces of metal. Excuse me. For a while, I was an M60 gunner, where I had a 23 pounds of M60 machine gun right here. And if I'm holding the compass right here, it's going to line up with that barrel, okay? I turn, it turns, okay. It's going to point the wrong way because something's interfering with it. Don't let things interfere with your moral compass, okay? Be connected to the Spirit. Don't let these outside influences point you in the wrong direction. Then you start going down that wrong path. But the beautiful thing about it is if we realize we're going down that wrong path, we don't have to walk all the way back many miles. We can just turn right where we are. Because God is there, arms wide open, just ready to welcome us back. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, he's right there with you. You don't have to walk back those many miles that you went down that path. Right there, just turn around, repent, and he will take you in and give you that big Jesus hug and guide you in the right direction and guide you into all truth. That's what he does. Alrighty. So he's realizing that these disciples are going to be without him now. But he's going to leave the Holy Spirit with them, within them. And the Spirit that will guide them into all truth, that will equip them to go out into the world. He's concerned about that. He makes it very clear here. They are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Yeah, the world is all around us with their thoughts, their ideologies, their false truths and things like that, their myths. And he could take us out of it. But he says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one while they're still in it. Okay? He could gather us up right now. Take us away from this world. We're going to have to deal with it. But we have a mission to complete. He has us here for a purpose, to stand for his truth, to bring his truth to others. Do people always want to hear the truth? No. They're so caught up in other things. And we can be too. You know, we're no exception. Don't go thinking you're better than anybody else. Uh-uh. We're human just like everybody else. The only difference is that we've given our lives to Christ. And he has taken us in and given us a future. So we still have this job to do. We still have this truth to speak. And that's what we heard finally in Ephesians today, about speaking that truth. Alrighty. It leads up to it here. We'll get to that, speaking the truth. He gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, etc. We all have a piece of the puzzle. We all have a piece of the puzzle. We're all working together as the body of Christ to bring his presence to others and bring them to him. So we need everybody on board here. Alrighty. So that the body of Christ might be built up until we reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Well, to reach unity in the faith, that'd be great. There's a whole lot of different beliefs, even within Christendom out there. But I have hope. Like last month when we got all those kids together, got them out a half day of school, and we had Catholics, we had Lutherans, we had Assembly of God, we had who knows what all else worshiping together. It was beautiful. 160 people at Central Square, got them out of a half day of school. We're all worshiping together because we all had something in common. We had Christ in common. We have our hope in him. The baccalaureate last Wednesday night, all kinds of kids there. It was great. And the praise and worship band was all students. And they did a wonderful job. The guitars, the drums, the singing, and the presence of God in that school auditorium. I love it on school grounds where you get to praise God. I just, as a teacher for many years, anytime I get that opportunity, I just, yes, sign me up. Okay. So we're out there just sort of singing and praising and worshiping, and it was beautiful. It was great. It was this unity that we're talking about. So hopefully we can become more unified as a church. Now, there's some things that are non-negotiable, right? We have to stand firm on this, and where other denominations have departed from that or gone apostate, we have to stand firm. We are going to love them. We are going to do what we can to bring them into truth, into God's truth. Right? We're not going to reject people. We're not going to hate them. We're not going to condemn them. We don't do that. We are Christians. We love. We want what's best for them. God wants what's best for them. He wants what's best for us. So we seek to lead people into truth and in a loving way. Alrighty? Before we get to that, we are. Talks about we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That become mature, I had to circle that. Yeah, we have to be mature as Christians. You can become physically mature, mentally mature, but also spiritually mature. And that's the important part there. To be spiritually mature, to handle this word faithfully. Again, not to condemn others, but to love them. To seek to guide them into truth, into the right paths. To be mature in our faith. Some of us, we still got a lot of growing up to do, okay? I know, I'm sorry that some of my behaviors, you put me on a motorcycle or something, and yeah, I need to mature a little. No, I'm getting better. But to be spiritually mature, that's the big thing right there, okay? And that's, it's an asymptotic function in math, okay? An asymptotic function will approach a line but never connect with it. It keeps on getting closer and closer and closer, but it never quite connects. But it keeps getting closer with every second that passes. And that's the deal there. Are we ever going to be perfect in this life? No. Are we ever going to be fully mature? Probably not. So I fit right in. Okay, that's cool. But as time passes, we become more and more and more like Christ, right? We're not going to reach it, but we're going to get closer and closer. Eventually, in the next world, absolutely, okay, we will reach full maturity. We will see things. We will understand things that we can't hear. It all makes sense, which will be wonderful. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Repeat that. By every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming, seeking to lead people again away from the truth. Especially our youth, who are still learning and still vulnerable. Pray for them. Work with them. Try to teach them the truth every chance you get. Because they're being taught things that are counter to Scripture. And we have to stand firm on this. We have to make sure that they have that firm foundation as they go out into this world. All right? So how do we do this? It says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ, to grow up, to become mature. Speaking the truth in love. I know I've hit this a number of times. It's a tightrope. It's a balancing act. We can speak all truth, but not be loving. And boy, is it easy to fall into that, where we just condemn certain people, lifestyles and such, okay? That is wrong. Off the other side is being all love, but not speaking the truth. And that is wrong as well. To be just totally loving and accepting, but not speaking the truth to people. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if we're not speaking the truth, we're not assisting in that. We're not helping in that. As I said before, you don't give a bottle of alcohol to an alcoholic or something like that and then praise him for drinking it. We do not cheer people on in sin. With Pride Month coming up, we don't cheer people on in sin. We want them to repent. We want them to turn. We're not going to be out there waving the flags and cheering them on into sin, going against God's will for them. That would be horrible. We want what's best for people. But let us find that fine line where we are standing for truth, but we are being loving. We're not all truth and condemnation. We're not all loving without truth. But we can somehow do that. Because we want to see them come into the truth. We want to see them repent and come back to God. Again, we don't condemn or hate anybody. We want what's best for them. We want what's best for them. So let us seek God in this, that He can guide us into walking that tightrope, where we can speak that truth. We can stand for what's right, but in a loving way, because we want what's best for people. It's not always what you say, but how you say it. It's so important to say it in the right way. Not to be condemning, but not to be affirming of that either. But that they would know the truth, Lord. That all of us, you know, we're not any better than anybody else again either. That we would all know the truth. That we would all follow you, Lord, to the best of our ability. So how you say it matters. Pray about that. When you get the chance to encounter people, and you do on a daily basis, to stand firm for what is right. Colossians 1:23, continue to believe this truth. Continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Believe the truth and stand firmly in it. So be loving to others. Let us seek the truth and let us speak the truth. Amen. Alrighty.